Hi everyone, and thank you very much for joining us on another episode of Lid Publishing's podcast, Lid Radio. My name is Miro, and I will be your host for today's show. With me today is Dan Beverley, our guest from our previous podcast, and he is here today to continue our series on career. How are you today, Dan?
I'm very well, thank you, Miro.
Perfect. And for those listening, Dan is a leadership and performance coach working exclusively with women to help them advance their careers with a real focus on what he calls the pivotal career moment. He is also the author of The Power of a Pivotal Moment. Now, today we are recording our second episode in our series of career podcasts, and we will be talking about career goals. Now, let's just get straight into it, Dan. And my first question is, we all have goals for our careers, but often it seems that they're so difficult to achieve. Why is that?
So the first big reason is that career goals, like almost all professional and business goals, are not 100% in our control, or very rarely. There are clients, customers, competition, all sorts of market forces that play into our goals, and so we're not 100% in control of them. There are two options. We can change the goal, but I think we need to go a little bit further in our goal setting process, which I'll talk about in a little bit. So I think that's the first reason that it can be very difficult. The second reason that career goals are difficult to achieve is that it takes a career to create a career. And we need to build a strategy, something that will work over time. And we're often not focused and not intentional over a period of time. So that's the other big reason. I think also what happens is that we tend not to go far enough with our goal setting. So we tend to scratch the surface only, and we really need to connect with what's behind the goal, the why this is important to us, what it is that our careers will give us and will lead to. We also need to be very clear that we actually want the goal we're going for. I know this sounds like 101 stuff, but you know, ask the question, if I had it, would I want it? And we often don't do that, what I call an ecology check. And we end up pursuing a goal that just isn't our own. It's not aligned with who we are, and it's not something that we've chosen to do, but something that's been given to us, or maybe we think we're supposed to or should do. And then the final reason that career goals are very difficult to achieve is we are just so anchored to the current role. So, you know, if you choose, you think about our careers, we spend so much time, so much energy working on this, it's very difficult to divorce ourselves from the job. And we're not what we do, we're not the work that we do, but we get very anchored to that thinking, and we end up finding it very difficult to think our way out of that and to think differently. So that's probably the other key reason why career goals are difficult to achieve.
Right, and that leads into my next question, which is, how do we set career goals that work?
I want to start by giving three big reasons why career goals don't work. The first is that our career goals just don't get to the heart of it. We don't know, we haven't really connected with what it is we really want. The second is that we haven't finished setting our career goals yet. We've not done enough about the kind of things that we need to do to achieve our goals. And the final piece is that we're not fully aligned with our goal, with who we are, and also weaving that into what we do day to day to make it something that's frictionless, something that we can actually work on. So how do we set career goals that work? Well, the first thing is to go deep. And go deep in the goal setting from the very beginning. What's behind the goal? What will that lead to? Which of my core values are being expressed in this goal, and which are perhaps not being honoured enough and need to be expressed more? So that's the first thing, is to go deep in the goal setting. The second is to create what I call a full goal complement. I talked at the start about goals not being 100% in our control. And what I like to do, rather than change the goal, is just identify the fact that our career goal is actually only one type of goal. It's an end goal. It's the thing that we're trying to achieve. And what we need to do is complement that with three other goal types. The first is to go with our end goal is a performance goal. The level of performance I think I need to hit to give myself the best chance of achieving my end goal. The work goal, you know, the process goal. What am I going to do day in, day out, week in, week out to achieve this goal? And then the learning goal. What learning am I going to take away from this? And those four goals together create for me what I call a full goal complement. And then the third big piece of setting career goals that work is introducing accountability. Something that keeps us true to ourselves and to our path, gives us an objective perspective, and just keeps us honest.
Now, setting a goal is very important. However, can you tell us a bit about what are the most effective ways in achieving the milestones that we need in order to get to the next stage of our career?
The clue is in the question there, breaking it down. So actually establishing, so having a goal and then breaking it down into its constituent parts. And sometimes I think people are worried about thinking too big with the goal because it feels like it will be overwhelmed. But actually, I would go the other way. I would say that thinking big actually makes the things that we're working on right now fit into context and be actually smaller relative to the overall end goal. So think big and then break it down into the constituent parts and really work hard on relating the milestones back to the why, back to the overall end goal. So we've always got that link. The second thing is to make sure that our goal pursuit efforts are really close to our day-to-day. It stands to reason that if following my goal is very, very different from what my regular day looks like, it's just going to be that much harder. So how can I construct my goals and my goal pursuit so it actually dovetails in with the rest of my day and is a little bit frictionless? I also like to ask people to align themselves with six particular areas of learning and change: environment, behavior, skills and abilities, values and beliefs, identity, and then at the top of the tree, purpose. And if we think around those six areas, we can start to align our day-to-day and everything else that's happening around us with our goal pursuit. The third big part of any goal is accountability. I know it's a bit of a broken record, but how are we holding ourselves to account, and what outside forces are keeping us honest? And then the next one is about taking action. And when I like to think about action, I like to think about off the scale action. So let's say, for example, we give ourselves a range of action, and we'll say it's from 0 to 10 or 1 to 10. And often we'll think, okay, 8, 9, and 10, that's above the norm. That's what will create change. But what really moves us forward is action that's off the scale. So give yourself a range of 1 to 10, but then look for actions that are an 11 to 15. And that's the stuff that will really move us forward. I also want my clients and anybody I work with to look for action that goes off the scale in the other direction, below zero, because that's actually inaction in the other direction. That's action that is purposefully keeping us away from our goals. And then the final piece of the puzzle is to work on now as well as the future. So in almost, well, every client I work with who wants to create change, wants to create a different future, a big part of the coaching is about creating that new version of their future. But I also want to work on now. We often say, well, okay, I want to achieve goal X to feel happy, successful, free. And that's really great. I love anchoring people and their feelings to the goal because it's a great motivator. But actually in doing that, we're also creating a bit of an issue because we're delaying our happiness, freedom, success, and whatever other feelings. And we're tagging them to the goal. We're linking them to the successful achievement of that goal. So when a client says to me, I want to work on this part of my career, I want to achieve these goals so that I can feel all of these things, I always take that on and I use those feelings. But then I say, okay, let's amplify the goal and work on right now. What would make you happy, feel successful, make you feel free right now? Because, frankly, it's a non-negotiable to be miserable doing something that we spend so much of our time
right,
on. So
right.
We have to work on the now.
Okay, and it seems to me that our mindset is very important when it comes to achieving our career goals, and it's at the core of getting things started, moving along, and achieving our milestones. How can we condition ourselves to align with our goals?
For me, it's a habit. It's a behavior. It's something that can be learned and developed, a positive mindset. The first is beliefs. So beliefs are the stories that we tell ourselves. And my first question for you is, what are you choosing to believe about your career? What are you choosing to believe about your career success? Do you believe you're capable of it? Do you believe it's possible? Do you believe you deserve it? Do you believe that you're taking 100% responsibility for it? And when we ask ourselves these sort of wisdom accessing belief questions, it can be enlightening to know and see the ways that we are getting in our own way. And I love people to, almost from session one, to make two big lists: a list of beliefs that are disempowering them and a list of beliefs that are empowering them. And with that disempowering beliefs list, which of those are we willing to change? Which of those are we willing to rewrite so that they support our goals? So that's the first big area of mindset, beliefs. And to build that up, I mentioned it being something that we can work on. The first is to practice self-awareness, to catch yourself believing a certain belief and acting accordingly. The second is to take some responsibility for that. This is something I'm choosing to believe, and I can choose to believe something else. And to invite people to look at the power of inquiry. Power of inquiry is about asking, is it true? So I have a belief, I couldn't possibly do this, I can't think of anything. Okay, is that true? How do I know that's true? Who would I be if I didn't think that thought? And if that's a useful thought for us, then to adopt a new belief. Second big part is to adopt a growth mindset. So in the literature, there's a big piece of work around fixed mindset versus growth mindset. And a fixed mindset you might summarize as wanting to look smart, but it has a lot of fear inside it, and it means that we can plateau very easily. Growth mindset is much more about wanting to learn, and that leads us to ever higher achievement. Imagine if we always came at our career from a learning perspective. I want to learn from everything that's happening to me, and in particular to be able to reframe failure, let's say, as feedback, and turn the fear of failure into welcoming the challenge. I love to hear what's not working, because it gives me a recipe for success. If I just reverse that, I know what I need to work on. And then the final big piece around mindset is achieving what I call a clarity of distance. And it's probably one of the most important things that I offer my clients, anybody who comes to coach with me. Clarity of distance is about not getting into the minutiae. It's about being able to take a mental step back and really survey what we're doing on a really high level. And then we're able to move the pieces around on the board and make some very informed decisions about how we move things forward. So that's what I do for my clients. But, you know, people can do that for themselves. We have downtime that we can make use of this. We can meditate. We can go for a walk. Going for a walk is one of my favorite strategies. So we set ourselves a task, a thinking task, something I want to think around. And then I'm going to plant that in my mind and tell my subconscious to get to work on it. But then I'm going to go for a walk. Being outside and getting some fresh air, but also doing something that's just distracting enough that allows my insights to come through. As soon as I get home, I grab a pen and piece of paper and scribble down whatever comes to mind.
Actually, as a matter of fact, it seems like walking in general is becoming a bit of a revolution at the workplace, where I've heard it's become quite popular for people to have walking meetings now. I mean, we discussed this as well with a few people in the office, and it seems to be absolutely the way to go to simply clear your mind sometimes and get out of that office. Now, my final question for you, Dan, today is, what's the best way of measuring our results once we start?
I mentioned in a previous podcast that this happens at the point that we create the strategy. We need to not just come up with goals in the strategy, but also a plan and also a way for measuring them, checking them. What's the best way? Well, I always give that to my clients first. They're going to tell me the best way of measuring, because they're the experts in themselves and in their lives. But if people want some ideas, the first is reality. You know, there's no sense in arguing with reality. There's no sense in saying this shouldn't have happened. Well, it did happen, and let's look for the learning in that. Second thing is to find a way of getting something of an objective view, a little bit of accountability, a little bit of outside perspective. That really is very helpful to help measure results. Introduce some numbers. You know, what gets measured gets done. What gets measured improves. We know that in business, we know that we do that for our projects. Why not do it for ourselves? So what metrics are you going to choose to show that you're on track with your career, that you're achieving things, that you're always growing? And it can be very easy with metrics just to go to the very top level and do something that doesn't actually show us progress until we've created the success that we want. So what other metrics could we choose that, whilst I'm achieving my goal, it does still show me that I'm moving forward, even though I haven't yet achieved my goal? And then the final part of measuring our results is around state. You know, being really clear on how we want to feel and using that as a barometer of our success. A big part of almost all goals is, you know, how do you want to feel? And the reason that's important is that state really drives thinking, which drives behaviors, which drives results. So if we're in a good, positive state, which we can induce ourselves with positive thinking, then we're going to get great results. And that's a great way to measure how well we're doing.
And that concludes our second episode in the series. Thank you very much for joining us again today, Dan.
Thank you, Miro.
And next time, for those listening, we will be talking about the career success habits we need in order to achieve our goals. And of course, for those listening, if you want to know more about Dan, you can always visit his website at www.danbeverly.com. And you can also reach out to him on social media, on Twitter at Dan Beverly, LinkedIn at Dan Beverly, and Facebook at facebook.com/DBeverlyCoaching. Thank you very much again for joining us, and we look forward to seeing you on the next episode of LID Radio.